All right. Am I on? Very good. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hope I have a little more voice this evening. Appreciate those of you who prayed for me. Good to be able to talk when you're a preacher. That pastor's verse in the Bible, I cannot dig and to beg I am ashamed. So you got to have that voice. Amen. Boys and girls, before I start my message, I'm going to speak for the preachers that are here this week. Brother Lee, Brother Brent. Pastor sitting up on a platform, and I didn't even ask them if I could speak on their behalf, but I'm going to. To my knowledge, all four of us have been in church all of our life. I've got a bulletin, a church bulletin. I was 2 weeks old. My parents dedicated me to God in a church service, along with 12 other babies. How I would like to know what became of those other 12. Wouldn't that be interesting? But I just want to say to you, I didn't get saved until I was almost 19. And I've done some things I wish I hadn't done, no doubt about that. But I'm going to speak for all four of us, and I'm going to tell every one of you boys and girls this. We have never one time sat up at night and said, I wish I'd have spent more nights in a bar. I wish I'd have been drunk a few times just to experience that. I wish I'd have been strung out on dope for a month or two and just, you know, been through it.
You're right.
I'm telling you, I speak for all four of us. You don't need to go out and mess up your life and then get saved to have some kind of testimony. You're just better off just having no experience at all with a world that has nothing to offer you. Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time. That means there's not much out there. You think about that. It's like Jesus turned to him and said, that's it? That's all you got? Well, yeah, but I can dress it up in a lot of different ways. Well, you can, but there's nothing to it. I'm just telling you, just stay in church. Just stay in church. And you say, well, there's hypocrites in the church. There's hypocrites wherever you'll go when you leave church. And there's people in church that'll hurt me. There's people hurt you everywhere you go. But it's just better here. It's better here. And thank the Lord for it. All right, let's pray together. Father, bless your word tonight to our hearts and help us to see a little bit more about your glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Brother Brent, the message he brought to our hearts. And thank you, God, for a meeting like this. Thank you for church people faithful to be here on a Wednesday night. And we ask that you'd help us, God. Help me to say what you want said and the way you'd have it said. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. All right, if you were providentially hindered from being here last night, I started speaking about Jesus Christ in His ministry from the time of His ascension to the time of the rapture. And the rapture could be tonight. I believe that. I believe that. And you said, well, I used to believe that, and then I saw a video, and now I think I'm going through tribulation. You can't miss lunch without getting in the flesh. You're not going to go 7 years without anything to eat. Anyway, I won't get into all that. But we're talking about what Jesus Christ is doing now. And most of us independent Baptists, Bible-believing Baptists, we believe in a Jesus who saved us one day and a Jesus who's going to come and get us in the rapture. But we really don't have much discernment or understanding about what Jesus Christ is doing right now. Last night we talked about Christ as our intercessor. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He said in John 17, I pray not for the world. He's not praying for the world tonight. He's praying for us that God would keep us from the world. We talked about that last evening. Tonight I want to talk about Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. Or at least in Bible theory, He's the head of the church. John the Baptist is not the head of the church. Just checking. The Pope's not the head of the church. The convention president in Nashville's not the head of the church. The richest man in the congregation's not the head of the church. The most forceful woman in the church is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is supposed to be the head of the church. That's what the Bible says. But we'll talk about that in just a minute when we get there. Three headships of Jesus Christ that will be His in a day to come. Psalm 18 and verse 43. Psalm 18:43, I believe this prophecy about Jesus Christ at His second coming. And the Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 43, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. I believe Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, the heathen, that's non-Israelites. That's the Gentile nations. I believe they will serve Him. I do not believe they will serve Him because they love Him. I believe they will serve Him because they appreciate Him. I believe He will rule all nations with a rod of iron. And the reason I believe that, they say, we want peace, we want unity, we want an end of war, we want an end of poverty, we want an end of hunger. Jesus is going to give them that for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, when the devil is let out of the pit, he gets an army together and they march on Jerusalem trying to get rid of Jesus Christ. They want peace and they want food and they want shelter and all. They want all that. As long as it's not administered by someone who has rules of righteousness. But Jesus is going to come back. He's going to be the head of the heathen. Praise the Lord. Now, Matthew 21. Speaking of the heathen, how about Israel? He came unto his own received him not. They're not too fond of him either. That Jew's no more interested in Jesus Christ coming back and taking over than is the Gentile. He came once and offered them, kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they chose Barabbas and Caesar instead of the Holy Son of God. But the Bible says in Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. If I read my Bible prophecy right, Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to sit on the throne at Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign as the King of the Jews. I believe that. But He is not coming at their invitation. He is not coming at their bidding. He is coming because there is a prophetic calendar laid out for God's people in Daniel chapter 9, and God is going to fulfill it. He's not coming at the invitation of the scribes and the Pharisees and whoever else they'll be here at the end of that tribulation time. This was not going to say, Jesus, okay, we're ready now, come on back. In fact, when He comes and every eye sees Him, the Bible says, they shall look on me whom they pierced and shall wail because of Him. That's not hallelujah, hosanna, glory to God. That's, for once, everybody's going to look up and say, oh my God, and for the first time they'll be right. Because it will be their God coming back on that white horse. Now, look at Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians 2. He is going to be the head of the heathen. He is going to be the head of the nation of Israel. And in Colossians 2, on the way down, He's just going to take care of a long-standing problem that has affected this earth for a great while. Brother Lee will deal with this tomorrow night. Maybe. He gave me a little hint. But Colossians 2, verse number 9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. Yeah, who we wrestle against right now? Principalities. You know who saved people fight against right now? Powers. The principalities and powers right now are in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. One day He is going to be the head of all principality and power. So what I read in my Bible is Jesus Christ is the head of the heathen. He's the head of the nation of Israel, head of the Jew. And He's the head of principalities and powers. But all of that is an involuntary dominion. He is taking to Him His great power and He is reigning over the Gentiles, whether they like it or not. Over the Jew, whether they like it or not. Over those principalities and powers, whether they like it or not. Now, look in Colossians 1, Colossians chapter 1, and verse number 16. As soon as you find it, I forgot to say something at the start of the message. Colossians 1, verse 15. Your pastor and I agree on everything you need to agree on. Everything Christians are supposed to walk in unison on, we walk in unison. So you, every time I say something, you don't have to look over at him and see if he's smiling or frowning. Okay? Because if there's something that I say tonight or tomorrow night or last night that we disagree on, He's got Sunday to fix it and Sunday night to fix it. But it won't be anything that you got to leave church over or write an internet blog about me about. Okay? Someday, King James Bible-believing people will learn to love somebody that don't agree with them on Haggai 3 and 3 John verse 8, whatever that might be. All right, Colossians 1:15. Talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created. I believe that. That are in heaven, that are in earth. I think Darwin is the most damaging lie that's ever been passed on human race. You read Romans 1. If you don't believe in God's the Creator, everything else flows from that. By Him are all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body. You just heard a sermon about that. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now, here's the difference. Here's the difference. Jesus Christ right now is the head of the church. He will be the head of the heathen. He will be the head of the Jew. He will be the head of principalities and powers. Right now He's the head of the church. But the second difference is that headship, though it is absolutely His by divine right, it is exercised in accord with our will. He doesn't ask the heathen, He takes over. He doesn't ask the Jew, He takes over. He doesn't ask the principalities and powers, He takes over. He is the head of the church, and yet every single Sunday, the vast majority of congregations never consult Him one time about what they do and how they do it. And He allows it to go on. We are members of that church. Every one of us is saved. We are members of that body. Every one of us are saved. Brother Brent went through that just in the last hour. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ allowed you today to pretty much do whatever you wanted to do. Now, in doctrine, He's the head of the church. In theory, He's the head of the church. But in practical reality, we have thousands of popes. In practical reality, we have thousands of elected boards. In practical reality, we have hundreds of John the Baptists. We consult anyone and everyone but the head of the church. We follow the instruction and the dictate of anyone but the head of the church. Jesus Christ right now is a man sitting at the right hand of the Father, just as you are men and you are women sitting before God the Father, and that man wants to be in charge of all us men. And that man wants to be in charge of every one of us ladies, or every one of you ladies. Out on the street, this fellow said, "I'm transitioning from a male to a I'm transgender. I'm transitioning from a male to a female." I said, "No, you're just going to become a eunuch. You're not going to become a woman." This, you're right, brother. This country's so fouled up, man. The whole country got a reprobate mind. From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Rio Grande to the Great Lakes, they are reprobates, man. They're just out of their minds. Just let you know, in case you would wonder if I agree with what Brent preached. I do. But now look, Jesus Christ is supposed to be the head of the church. But if he doesn't command my obedience, if He doesn't command your obedience, if collectively as a body of believers He doesn't command our obedience, then evidently He is not the head of the church. It's just a doctrinal statement. It's just another one question we got right on the Bible exam, but one that we get wrong every day of our lives. Now let's look and see what's the hindrance. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What stands between Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and Jesus Christ functioning as the head of the church? Well, the first one's real simple. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, but all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" That gets your attention if your foot start talking. If the foot shall say, what? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the bodies that pleased Him. Correct? We would all agree, praise God, I'm a member of the body. And we would all agree, praise God, I'm a particular member of the body. And I'm a member of the body where God put me. I have gifts and abilities and ministry opportunities and personality. I'm a member, and yet God already set the head atop the shoulders of the body. When the pastor got saved, the church already had a head. When the deacons were appointed, the church already had a head. When the millionaire joined, the church already had a head. You understand what we're saying? The position of head of the body is not open. The position of head of the body has not been available for 2,000 years. Hands live and die. Ears live and die. Noses live and die. Feet live and die. But the head of the church is the same head of the church that has been the head of the church for 2,000 years. My problem is, in my personal life, your problem is in your personal life, we are seldom striving to move from foot to hand. We are seldom striving to move from ear to nose. We are continually striving to move from whatever part of the body we are to the head. We want to call the shots in our life. Look, this is real easy. This is so easy. Bless God, I believe that Bible. I believe that King James Bible. And I believe Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Okay, fine. You believe? We all believe that. We all believe Jesus Christ, the head of the church. "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I have given you the Holy Ghost and ye shall be my witnesses." And in a Bible conference, in a Bible-believing church, one of the highest esteemed Bible-believing churches left in our country, there are people sitting here tonight who can't remember the last time they witnessed to anyone. Well, it's not my personality. Well, it's not my gift. Well, the head of the church said to do it. Well, I was busy. Well, door knocking's not my thing. Well, I'm just kind of shy. And I tried it a couple of times and God didn't really bless it. The head of the church did not ask you to tell him why his instructions were wrong. He said, "You should be my witnesses." Is he the head of the church or is it just a theory? If we're members of the body, look, if your head told your arm to reach out, pick up the fork, and eat some food, and your arm didn't respond, you would call a doctor immediately. You say, "There's something wrong. My arm is not obeying my head." But the members of Christ's body do not respond to His instructions year after year after year, and nobody calls a doctor. We're content with paralysis. You know what that Bible says, 1 Corinthians? Oh, this is a good one. It says, "On the first day of the week, let every one of you give." Well, that tells me that every one of us is supposed to be where the giving takes place on the first day of the week. See, you thought I was going to talk about money, didn't you? You can't give where the giving's going on if you're not where the giving's going on. So everybody that's saved is supposed to be in a church on the first day of the week. Well, I just can't find one that suits me. Well, of course you can't, because you're the head. Man, if somebody ever called our church and said, I'm looking for a place where I can serve God, I'd probably fall out of my chair. They call, what do you have for families? What do you have for young people? What do you have for me? What do you have for my wife? What do you have for my girlfriend? I'm the head, and I'm looking for a place where I can exercise my headship. So he said, on the first day of the week, let every one of you give. You know how many people don't go to church that are members of churches? You know how many people go to church and don't give anything? A lot of Christians got an amplified version. Let him give if things are going well at work, and let him give if he's not too much in debt, and let him give if the pipes didn't break. The head of the church said, first day of the week, be there and give something. So if we had a quiz tonight, who's the head of the church? Every one of us could say, Jesus Christ, he's the head of the church. But we're waiting for him to get on a white horse and come down here and make us get back in the hand spot or the foot spot or the ear spot or the nose spot. These things ought not so to be. Come to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter 2. He wants to be the head of the church just like he wants to intercede and give us victory over sin. I'm waiting for the rapture. I'm excited about the rapture. But I don't want Jesus to have no part in my life between salvation and the rapture. Colossians chapter 2. And verse number... Well, we're talking about Jesus Christ here. Obviously, he's the head of the body. Now look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. Oh, he's not going to do it, is he? Maybe. Or the new moon. Or y'all better quit messing around with those new moons. Or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward, the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, capital H. That's translator's preference. Not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ in the rudiments of the world, why is though living in the world ye subject ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will, worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. All right, so what do we got? What keeps Christ from being the practical head of the church? Verse 16, man's rules and religious traditions. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. You know what Jesus Christ said about junk food? Nothing. You know what Jesus Christ said about sugar in your drinks? Nothing. You know what Jesus Christ said about veggies? Nothing. Listen, if you want to get on a health food diet because it keeps you from paying money to the doctor, do it. But don't walk in here and tell people they're sinning if they give their kids potato chips. You just made that up. Well, I read it on a website. You know, you can read pretty much anything on a website. You can write your own and then read it. Man, people come in our church, we say, praise God, here comes a family of people, they got a Bible in their arm and they're dressed right, and before long they're arguing about toothpaste and deodorant and cookies. They won't stay for a fellowship dinner because somebody fried the food. Yep. Look, there's enough in this Bible you haven't obeyed yet. You don't need to be adding stuff. I'm telling you, people come into church and they think they're spiritual. They think they're spiritual because they don't eat dessert or because they don't eat processed foods, or because they pay three times as much money for something without hormones in it. You want to spend... He's smiling. I know a sales rep for Tyson Chicken. He says we can market up 25% if we put no hormones on the package. It's been against the law to put hormones in chicken since 1960. There ain't been a hormone in a chicken in the grocery store for 50 years. Praise the Lord. My family, we only eat whole foods. Yeah, but you've been eating a whole lot of them. There's something in the Bible about that. When you can't come to visitation, but you can judge people about what they eat, Christ is not the head. You're the head. You're making stuff up. Hope my voice holds out. Or on Holy Day. Last weekend in our county and your county and counties all across America, churches spent God's money to tell the world. They put billboards up, they put ads on the radio to tell the world. Not that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had conquered death and risen from the grave, but that they were going to have an egg hunt. That's their message to the world. We got more eggs than they got. We got more prizes than they got. How about the Son of God died on the cross to pay for your sins? No, I don't want to mention that. It offends people. How about the Son of God rose from the dead 3 days and three nights later? We don't want to mention that. That offends people. You know who it offends? People who are getting their children more excited about a rabbit with a basket under his arm than the Son of God. Now wait. That's not the problem. The problem is that preacher's wife, the deacons and the deacons' wives, the Sunday school teacher and the Sunday school teacher's wife, not one of them ever thought to ask Jesus Christ one time what he thought about hunting Easter eggs on a church property. That's right. It's not that they do it or they don't do it. It's that nobody consults the head of the church. Right. They consult marketing programs. They consult church growth programs. They consult the teenagers. What would you think is fun? What do you think is fun? What would you like to do? Would your friends come if we did this? Nobody asked Jesus Christ what He wants to do on December 25th. Nobody asked Jesus Christ if He wants everybody to paint their face green on St. Patrick's Day. They just do it if they think it'd get three more heathen to come to church. What do you want me to make this about Colossae 2,000 years ago? They didn't consult the Lord. They just made their own rules about food and made their own rules about drink and made their own rules about holy days and made their own rules about celebrations and festivals. It's like Jesus is gone, and if He wants anything changed, He'll do it when He gets back. How about in between? Is He the head of the church or isn't He? Kind of like that last night, but I don't know about tonight. All right, 18. How about this? Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. True in things, those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Man, you go in a religious bookstore. Thank God for a Christian bookstore here at this church. You go in a religious bookstore, it's angel wall posters, it's angel intervention, it's fighting like an angel, it's angels hovering over me, it's angels in the outfield, it's angel air fresheners. You know, Jesus, you just read Jesus Christ created the angels. The angels of God worship Him. They're ministering spirits who serve Him. What's all this adoration of angels nowadays? Nobody consulted the head of the church about that. How about things vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind? You know, it used to be the charismatics that didn't have anything to say out of the Bible. They just, God spoke to me and God told me and I heard a voice. Now it's independent Baptists. You got people going to King James Bible-believing churches. They had their pastor hadn't given them 30 minutes out of the Word of God in 6 months. Well, the Lord told me this. The Lord laid this on my heart. It's funny, whatever God lays on their heart is who they're mad at that week. Some woman ain't dressing right, and God laid it on his heart to preach on britches, you know. And we don't look over there. We're all in agreement on this stuff. I told him at lunch, in case your pastor hadn't told, there's two kind of people who shouldn't wear them yoga breeches. People look good in them, and people who don't. For very different reasons, but that covers it. What a country we live in. I want to go out in public in tights with my blouse down to here and then complain about sexual harassment. Bunch of reprobates, man. They got no discernment. Clueless. Anyway, I gotta press on here. Preacher told me to be done by 10. Look at verse 19. Not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. You know what I'm supposed to be, what church is supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be ministering to you, and you're supposed to be ministering to me. You know why people leave our churches? Because they want our churches to be about them. And our churches are not supposed to be about them. They're supposed to be about Jesus Christ. And they're looking for a church that's going to do stuff for them. And our churches aren't supposed to be a place where something's done for you. It's supposed to be a place where you do something for somebody else. That's right. It's not hard to build a church this generation, a Bible-believing church. It's not hard to build one because people aren't getting saved. I think a lot of people get saved. It's not hard because people don't want to, you know, sing songs about the Lord. It's hard to build a Bible-believing church these days because people are so incredibly self-centered. They can't survive in a church where Christ is the head and where He wants you to minister to others, not be ministered to. That's just a fact. And then verse 20 and 23, all these man-made rules. He be dead with Christ in the room of this world. Why is though living in the world? He's subject to ordinance. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Man, I tell you, I got saved. I was in a church and I got saved. I was converted among the brethren. I got saved at Plymouth Brethren Assembly. If somebody nodded their head too fervently, they might be going charismatic. Somebody call them down for it. And then somebody invited me to go to camp meeting. I didn't know what a camp meeting was. And this friend of mine and I, we went and he slept in the front seat of the car. I slept in the back seat. We were the only ones there camping out at the camp meeting because we didn't have any money. And I won't name the names, but these guys were there. And it was fun. We had a great time, great singing, great preaching, six-hour offerings. I mean, it was just big time. But man, they preached on stuff. I mean, mustaches and wire-rimmed glasses and cowboy boots and sports cars and colored shirts in the pulpit and colored people in America. And I mean, just stuff you couldn't find in the Bible if you read it three times. Man, I'd go to the altar. I was asking God to forgive me of stuff that God hadn't even heard it was wrong. I kid you not, man. These guys get up one night and this guy starts preaching. He said, "Bless God, my wife, she don't lay out no sun. She's as white as a cotton shirt." And these guys, different ones, started getting up testifying about how white their wife was. "Bless God, my wife, she's as white as that sheet of paper right there. Praise God." I married a girl from Brazil. What am I supposed to do, man? I'm going to have to put away my wife to get right with God. I didn't know, man. I mean, these are men of God. They told you every 5 minutes, I'm the man of God. Well, poor wife's a good thing she wasn't there, because one guy said you couldn't wear heels, and one guy said you couldn't wear open-toed shoes, and one guy said you couldn't wear sandals, and if she went barefoot, they'd have seen her feet were brown. I mean, she's in a mess. Now look, you got rules for your family, have them. And your kids will hate them when they grow up, they'll probably have the same rules. And if you want to do certain things, and you don't drive a car that costs enough money to keep running or whatever, just help yourself. But when you walk into the church and say, we're not fellowshipping with those people because they don't abide by our rules, then you're the head of the church, not Christ. And nobody's going to follow you with that stuff. I'd go to these meetings, praise God. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be controversial. I thank God for people who have 8, 9 children who are saved and not on welfare. But if you've got 9 kids and working people are paying for your kids, you ain't spiritual. How's that? And you get up and say, if you don't have a baby every year, you're not right with God. Well, what about women who can't have a baby? I'm just telling you, when you come up with something, or you find an internet preacher that came up with something, and you want to make what somebody came up with the basis for your fellowship, you are robbing Christ of His headship over the church. He's supposed to be the head of the church. And I got saved in 76, and the hippies were just dying out, and the disco was coming in, and it was a very confused time. A lot of transgender before the word had been invented, you know, just everything all kind of mixed up. Everybody's shocked when Elton John said he was a sodomite, you know. I mean, the feather boas and the high heels. Who knew? But anyway, back in those days, it's about the unpardonable sin for a man to have a beard. And these preachers, I mean, you couldn't have a week-long revival meeting without somebody preaching against beards from a Scofield Bible with a picture of Robert E. Lee on the wall in their office. And I'd go home, I'd tell my wife, I said, am I the only one that sees these things? It's so weird. As Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, he had a beard. And took off 6 months every year and went to the beach. Christ wants to be the head of the church, but He is not going to come on a white horse with a rod of iron and make us obey Him. But our rules aren't getting us anywhere. And our gimmicks aren't getting us anywhere. And our man-made doctrines aren't getting us anywhere. And our failure to study the Bible and just getting up and speaking off the top of our head and pretending it's the Holy Ghost is not getting us anywhere. Amen. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. After John 3:16, the first passage most men learn in the Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 22. I'm going to help you here, fellas, if you'll stay with me. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I don't like that verse any more than you do, because I don't like what men do with it. They pull it out of Ephesians 5 and act like it's the only thing God said. Now, ladies, I'm not going to give you an excuse, but just stay with me, because there's some women in every church that can't shop online. Do you know that? They go to the website and they pick out some clothes and they put it in a little basket. And they pick out some decorations and they put it in a little basket. They get some more pillows and they put it in a little basket. And then they go to checkout and they type in their address and they type in their credit card information and they get everything just ready. And then there's a little button there that says submit. And they just freeze. They can't hit that button. Been nice coming here. I've enjoyed it every time. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Isn't that right, fellas? Even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. If you haven't, or you're not in the process of saving her from the world, saving her from the flesh, saving her from the devil, saving her from a heavy yoke, and giving her an easy yoke, stop quoting the parts of the verse that give you a hammer. For our context tonight, I want you to see Christ is the head of the church as the husband is the head of the wife. Sir, if you don't understand that's voluntary, you either just got married or you're just about to be divorced. Trying to make a woman who's got a brain just like you do, has a soul for which Jesus died just like you do, has the Holy Spirit just like you do, is a member of the body of Christ with spiritual gifts just like you are, for you to treat her worse than a dog because it makes you feel good to flex your muscles and pretend you're the head, you got that all wrong, man. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. Jesus saved me. He told me to be subject to Him. He didn't take my brains away. He didn't take my ability away. You don't want to be married to a woman who's as dumb as some of you guys treat her like she is. You understand? It'd be good if you had a help meet. Not something you picked up at the kennel so you could kick around when you felt bad after work. You say amen to that like the other stuff. Well, some of our guys, my best God, I believe that King James Bible, I make my wife submit to me. Well, Christ doesn't make His church submit to Him. So you're not doing it right. He does not make you submit to Him. There's not a man here that Christ makes submit to Him. Christ's the head of the church, you're the head of your house. Let's start doing it like Christ does it. 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, ladies, that's what it says. My husband, he's done. Yeah, I know. Well, I just feel, I know. But the preacher told you that, and your mom told you that, and your friends told you that. But you're going to change him. I feel like I'm verbally abused. I know. I wish my dad had verbally abused me. Verbal would have been a lot easier than sticks and paddles and belts. And kids, listen, here's how it was back in the day. When dad yelled, shut up, that wasn't verbal abuse. It meant stop talking. And if you didn't stop talking, there was genuine abuse. And if you'd have called the cops, they'd have said, what are you crying about, you baby? Anyway, man should never hit a woman. And a woman should never hit a man. Fair enough. All right, so don't.
What's he saying?
I'm saying there's as many excuses for a man to not love his wife and for a woman to not obey her husband as there are for a Christian to not obey Jesus Christ, but none of them are valid. If he's the head of the church, we do what he says. Anyway, let's go on. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I like that. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. How about that? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and should be joined unto his wife, and they two should be one flesh. I've suggested this for years. Nobody's taken me up on it yet. I wish when a man walked the bride down the aisle, I wish the mother was standing there by the groom and she'd give her boy away. But she don't cook as good as mama. Too bad. We ought to have a plate breaking ceremony. Now watch. For this cause, man leave his father and mother, should be joined on his wife, they two should be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I'm going to tell you what I didn't know first 5 years of my marriage, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And I can't just blame it on the preachers I listened to, but they had a lot to do with it. You listen to men just mean and make fun of women and can't stay married and all that. That's not going to help you in your marriage. It'd be like asking me to help you with algebra. Listen, here's what Jesus Christ did. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit to draw us to himself. He saved us by his grace. He made us part of his body. And now, from that day to this, he has worked to convince us of how much he loves us and how much we can trust him in hopes that as we come to know him as he is, we will allow him to be the head of our lives and the head of our church. You can make people serve God. This generation, not for long. Not for long. The people that stay in our churches and stay in service and are active and busy and go to the mission field and go door knocking are not the people that know all the rules. It's the people who know how wonderful Jesus Christ has been to them. Sir, the quicker you get off trying to rule with a rod of iron and start giving that woman reasons to trust you and love you and be glad she married you and not somebody else, the quicker she'll see the wisdom in the part God gave her. Now, let's try to get back to the message here because some of you kind of strayed a little, at least in some of our thoughts. You know what's wrong with those rules that we make up? They don't exalt Christ. You know what's wrong with those celebrations and those parties and those games and those gimmicks? They don't exalt Christ. You know what's wrong with that man-made religion? It doesn't exalt Christ. And the reason Jesus Christ is not the head of our churches as he should be is because we diminish him with our programs and we diminish him with our doctrines and we diminish him with our rebellion and we diminish him with our excuses so that people don't fall in love with Jesus Christ and let him rule their lives because, well, if the preacher thinks Jesus is not as good as a costume party in Halloween time, he must not be all that great. If the leading ladies of the church think the mall's got a better idea than the Bible must not be all that great. If the youth pastor thinks the things of the world are more fun than serving God must be all that great. When we substitute other things and other doctrines and other points of emphasis for exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, we make it hard for people to trust Him and hard for people to fall in love with Him. And if we don't love Him and don't trust Him, we'll never make Him the head. Your pastor, you'll never know. You'll never know. You can't know. You'll never know the pain and the heartache the pastor endures, his wife endures, that their children endure, because you think you love the people that left and the preacher didn't. And that's not true. And you love the families that are gone, but the preacher didn't. And that's not true. We're just not going to let the 15-year-olds determine Amen. The direction of our youth program.
Amen, preacher.
And we're not going to let ladies... Listen, if you had a gingerbread baking thing in mid-December, you'd have 50 women show up and bring their friends. If you had an evangelistic push to knock on doors in mid-December, you couldn't get two of those women to come. People say, you're against holidays. I'm not against the holidays. I'm against our telling the church and the world, we wish we were you. What you have is so much better than what we have, and we're just always trying to figure out a way to get what you have in here with Jesus. We don't trust Him. We don't love Him. We're married, but we're looking up all our old boyfriends on Facebook. We come to church, but every time the world's doing something, we try to figure out a way to be part of it without going too far and offending Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ right now wants to be the head of the church. And in doctrine, intellect, see, He is the head of the church. But in practical reality, He's not the head of the church because we don't love Him and trust Him enough to let Him be the head of the church. And it's because we've got all these other things in the way. Let's get our man-made doctrines and throw them out. Let's get our longing to be as much like Moloch and Baal as we can without rejecting Jehovah and get rid of it. Let's stop breaking fellowship with people that don't abide by our family preferences. Let's exalt Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen, sin-conquering, soul-saving Savior of the world. So that it's a no-brainer for these young people to say, why would I leave church and go out there? Jesus is so much better. You know what Ephesians 5 said? You know what Ephesians 5 said? It said, sir... Well, look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church... Come on, man, look at this. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. You see that? It didn't say make them. It said let them. Make the way of submission desirable. Make the way of submission easy. Make the way of submission a no-brainer. Why wouldn't I live for that man? He's so wonderful to me. Church, let's get all of our stuff out of the way. And make Jesus Christ wonderful and glorious. And beautiful and right, so that, well, who wouldn't want to obey Him? Who wouldn't want to serve Him? It's a no-brainer. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. The Bible says He's the head of the church. But unlike the heathen, unlike the nation of Israel, unlike the principalities and powers, He's not going to take a rod and beat us into submission. He is going to continually present to us why our best option is to give our lives to Him. Let the church be subject unto Christ. Pastors, you can't make people surrender to Jesus, but you can make Him so wonderful they don't see any better option than to submit to Him. Let's not have a Jesus that saved us and a Jesus that's coming in the rapture and no Jesus in between. Let's have a Jesus right now who is the head of His church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Please bless it to our hearts. Lord, help us to adjust what needs to be adjusted so that our homes and our lives and our church fellowship can be honoring to Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.